Hi, this is Scott Peterson, Editorial Director for the Business Application and Architecture Group at TechTarget, and I'm here today with Ann Stewart, Senior Site Editor for Search Cloud Applications. We got back recently from the Gartner Catalyst Conference in San Diego, which ran the week of July 29th, and we're here to talk about what you learned at the conference. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Scott.
So I know that one of the conference's themes was convergence, harnessing the power of convergence, and I think people kind of get what that idea means nowadays, but or they know what we're talking about when we're talking about convergence. But what I really want to know is, what does it really mean to the enterprise and their businesses?
Well, what they focused on at this conference and beyond were four specific disruptive technologies that the analysts say are reshaping both IT and business. And those four are cloud, big data, social, particularly collaboration, and mobile. And so the Gartner folks and the other speakers said again and again in a lot of different ways that these technologies are valuable individually, but when they're used together, they can become even more powerful. And so they talked about how that power works in terms of creating business and IT services that help drive competitive advantage. In fact, probably one of the biggest takeaways was that if you aren't using these four disruptive technologies, if you don't have a strategy for leveraging them and combining them, you may well already be at a competitive disadvantage. The conference chairman, Gartner's vice president, Drew Reeves, told us that missing this movement is the equivalent of missing the internet itself. So that obviously raises the question then of what IT people can do to make sure they aren't missing this convergence boat. And in his keynote, Drew Reeves said he could really sum it up pretty quickly that IT needs to become a broker to the business. He said that the business, you know, obviously doesn't want to deal with technology. That's not what they do. They want to do what they need to do for business. So he called on IT folks to try and recognize the business's need for services and then to help the business find and evaluate and adopt these services that will help them do what it is that they need to do. We all know that Gartner treads sometimes perilously close to hyperbole in some of its pronouncements. Mm-hmm. But in this case, many of the conference attendees seem to think that this convergence really is a game changer. And if there's one of the four converging disruptive technologies that seem to be on everybody's radar, it was mobile, specifically the whole BYOD or bring your own device trend.
Getting just back to the convergence, did they supply any examples or did you hear any stories from customers that talked about, okay, this is what we were able to achieve when we put together all of these elements into a cohesive plan?
The interesting part was that nobody seemed to be there yet, where I did not hear of anyone who was doing this successfully in a major way yet. Doesn't mean they were out there, but the focus of it was, this is breaking right now and you need to get on top of this wave.
With the BYOD, I sometimes like to think of it not just bring your own device, but bring your own applications.
Mm-hmm.
What are they recommending businesses do there to try to implement this and get control of it in order to help the business?
Michael DiSabato, who is another Gartner analyst, talked to us about developing a BYOD program that works, with the emphasis on working, that works. I wrote a longish piece for this on Search Cloud Apps with his advice, but basically he laid out this kind of six-step program for developing an effective BYOD program. His approach assumes that you've already got a policy in place about bring your own device, something that clearly sets out what's allowed, what's not allowed, and then comes these six steps. So for him, step one was defining and assessing your risks. Step two was considering what options you have in terms of endpoint security and mobile device management, services, or products. Step three, and this is obviously an important one to get right, was determine your support levels. What are you going to support? How much support will you provide? Step four was addressing your legal and HR issues, and there are typically quite a few of these. For instance, what happens if an employee-owned device becomes evidence in a lawsuit against the company? Do you replace the device for the employee? Do you compensate the employee so he or she can go and buy another device? Or do you just say, sorry, you're out of luck, it's your risk if you're using your own device for work? These are the kinds of issues that you need to address. Step five is doing a pilot program. Obviously, that way if things go wrong, they go wrong on a small scale. And step six is following up. Figure out some metrics for measuring your program's successes and failures and get constant user feedback through surveys or other means and then act on those results.
The first point on your list was risk. So how do these companies go about and assess that risk?
Disabato recommended creating what Gartner calls a risk profile for each employee role and for the data that they use or have access to in the course of working in that role. The main thing you're trying to find out is whether users in any given role have access to data, and if they do have access, just how sensitive that information is. So he used a pretty simple three-level scale to gauge that: low, medium, and high. Low involves information that is basically almost public, and thus there's very little risk of creating any kind of problem if it does get outside the company. Medium is information that could cause moderate harm. You'd rather that it isn't out there, but it's probably not going to destroy the company. And then high, of course, involves highly sensitive information. This level involves information that could cause major financial or legal problems or serious damage to the company's reputation if it becomes public. As Disabato put it, it's the kind of stuff that gets you on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and not in a good way, possibly with something like data breach in the headline. These are loose categories, but they at least provide some guidelines for thinking about the risk that's involved with employees' uses of their own mobile devices.
It seems like, considering the risks, sometimes it's not, why would it even be worth letting companies or employees bring in their devices? But I think, as we know, there's the productivity versus security issue, and I guess they're all at least coming down on the fact that we need to get our people more productive, and this is the only way to do it.
I think that's part of it, and I think that's why you're seeing in a lot of companies, as I heard at this event and elsewhere, that people are actually beginning to embrace this trend, because it can save the company money too. You know, if I'm using my own $600 smartphone, that's a smartphone you don't have to buy for me.
On the subject of privacy as well is the cloud, and you covered some sessions there that talked about how to ensure better privacy in the cloud and therefore enable cloud to be used in more aspects of your business.
This was really interesting. The speaker on this topic was Heidi Wachs, who's another Gartner analyst, and unlike most of the other analysts, she also happens to be an attorney. So she started out by reminding us that security and privacy are not the same thing. People often confuse them or conflate them, but truthfully, they're two different things. And everybody thinks about security, but in her view, privacy is often just an afterthought. She told us this: if you address privacy up front in your cloud strategy, and she's talking about the public cloud here primarily, if you address privacy up front, you will save yourself risk issues and heartache in the long run. So some initial steps are common sense. You know, know what you've got in the cloud, what data is in the public cloud. Understand that the inventory is changing all the time. What's there today will be different than what's there tomorrow. So, as she put it, don't just set it and forget it. Keep on top of it. Know what's in there. Know what shouldn't be in there. And make sure everyone knows the policies about what can and can't go in the public cloud based on privacy concerns. It's also really important to work with your cloud service provider on this and to evaluate where that provider stands, because they're all over the place on privacy protection. If their standards don't match yours, she suggested that could be a deal breaker. So she suggested asking the cloud provider questions like these: how will the data be stored? For how long? How will it be transmitted? Will the cloud service provider ever access your data? Why would they do that and how? And what's the cloud service provider's policy on responding to requests from law enforcement agencies or government agencies? If they want your data, how will the cloud service provider handle that? I'm working on a longer piece about this whole issue for Search Cloud Apps.
Anything else going on at the conference that you thought was interesting?
There were a couple of other highlights. One was what Drew Reeves, the vice president I mentioned up front, had to say about shadow IT, which is related to this whole BYOD trend. It's software or hardware that employees use without IT permission and typically without IT support. And his take was that we usually think of shadow IT as a negative thing, but he had exactly the opposite reaction to it. He encouraged us to embrace shadow IT. And why is that? Because in his view, he called it a gift. He called shadow IT a gift. He said it is the business telling you exactly what they want. And when you help them get what you want, you become a trusted advisor instead of a roadblock. We also heard from Ariel Kelman of Amazon Web Services, who told us that AWS has launched, and this is as of a week ago, 281 new services and features in AWS since January 2012. So that's something I'm going to be tracking a little more carefully on Search Cloud Apps. And then finally, there was Harper Reed, who was the CTO for Obama's 2012 campaign. And in his keynote, he summed up the difference between the technology in the 2012 campaign and the technology in the 2008 campaign. He put it this way. In 2008, our technology was basically bubblegum and baling wire. In 2012, we had become the enterprise. Everything was metrics driven. So I thought that was kind of an interesting take on how an organization evolves its IT over time and obviously becomes more mature and more sophisticated. One of the things that he mentioned was that they follow up on every lead now, everything that they get, every phone call, every email, every text message, they follow up to see, you know, how the person responded. And that was a big, big part of their business and IT strategy.
Right. Ann Stewart, Senior Site Editor for Search Cloud Applications. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Scott.
This has been Scott Peterson, Editorial Director with the Business Applications Group and Architecture Group at TechTarget. Thanks for listening.